Yours, Bales?
I mean, I'm half Irish. And it's the bottom half.
It is colder up there too, right?
Yeah. So it's like 6 inches, maybe.
I want you to know that I've served several meals with mine, and they've told me that it was just fine.
The in-laws love it.
Hey guys, thanks for joining us for another episode. On this episode, we have one of our good friends, Michael Lawing, joining us as a guest host, and we'll talk about a wide variety of topics like we always do, and those topics include cockfighting, strip club buffets, and wiener gourds. So things are going to get weird. Stick around for episode 216.
Well, I was giving somebody shit about their CNC video they posted. And somebody was like, oh, this is shop porn. Like, okay, but it's not a dingle.
I like that we're self-policing now.
Yeah,
everybody who liked it, I'm not friends with, so apparently it's still a bunch of maker people who are like, oh, friends of friends are in this group.
Oh,
it has to be that. That's the only way these people are signing up to be members of this Facebook group. Because like I said, when I wake up in the morning and I look at the notifications and it says Joe Blow from Idaho wants to join Dingle and the Berries. All I think is, why? What led you to this poor, poor choice, Joe Blow? Why would you do this? I'm sure your mom wanted way better for you than that. But alas, here we are.
I still think we need to change the name of it to something like SEO friendly, but it's like completely different than what we're about.
Oh, yeah.
Like stay-at-home soccer moms or something like that.
I think if we poke the bear too hard, the bear will poke us back.
Everybody likes a little poking with the bear.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Bales, you're known as a bear in your circle, right?
No. I'm not hairy enough.
Otter.
You got to be hairy, don't you, to be the bear?
I think it's preferred.
You look a little scruffy.
No, not. I mean, like, you have to have body hair.
Oh,
yeah.
I don't know. You got a little 60 grit going on up there. I think that qualifies.
No, that's just my head. That's not my body.
You could be a stubby bear.
A cub.
Yeah, I'm more like a cub.
Or a chubby bear.
From the neck down, I look like a newborn rabbit. There's nothing.
That's disturbing.
Yeah, that. Hold for editing. Okay, rewrap. Wait. Live bumper. Scratched.
A stubby, an innie, or a chubby?
I'm still laughing at Ryan's stupid cat names.
Yeah. Sucker butt.
Ryan, why don't you run that by
Sucker Butt and Canhead?
And how did you come to name these cats this?
Sucker on butt. Head and can.
But why did your parents give you the authority and not overrule it?
Because it's a cat.
Like, maybe at the end of the week, you know, that was a good run, but we need to redo this to, like, Mittens and Paw Paw or something.
Yeah. I don't know. Then, Sucker Butt had probably become such an institution. I mean,
yeah.
I mean,
Sucker Butt and Canhead. That's the new name. That's it.
You guys didn't have any weird pet names?
No.
No?
I had a cat named Squiggy. Like from Lenny and Shirley.
Lenny and Squiggy.
Yeah.
Okay.
Right.
Sucker Butt.
But that's not weird.
I had a wiener dog named Jojo. It's pretty standard, I guess.
So my brother had a cat named Chicken. Which was a little stupid.
What?
He named his cat Chicken.
Was there a reason?
He just wanted to be different.
Huh?
And I knew a guy that named his dog Damn It, just so he could yell, come here, damn it.
I got one better than my Sucker Butt and Canhead. My wife said she grew up when she was little, they had a dog that they would throw it a beer. A full beer, and it would rip it open and like lap up all the beer. And the dog's name was Food Stamp.
What?
That's so ghetto.
Can you get more white trash?
food Stamp the Wonder Dog.
Yeah, I always thought that was funny.
Yeah, that's hilarious. Food Stamp.
Eloy, any other awesome pet names?
Yeah, what were all your yard chickens named?
Oh, dude, I don't. It's been so long.
And I'm sorry, we referred to those as yard fish, didn't we?
Yeah, and frankly, I just woke up from a power nap, so I'm trying to wrap my head around this whole thing.
Chicken is fish of the dirt.
Yeah,
we had a whole bunch of chickens when I was growing up. Ours were of the fighting variety.
Oh.
Yeah, so the first one we got named Hammer, because when we picked up the rooster and hen pair, he immediately got on the hen and just started hammering her.
So wait a minute. So you used to run an illegal cockfight ring?
I did not. That's what they were bred for. And certain other people were running that activity. It's wow. Apparently really lucrative where I grew up.
It's like a Mexican fighting chicken.
Yeah, well, so basically, as I understand it, I never went. These people would have like an entire van dedicated to this. They'd load up their the roosters. It was only the roosters would fight, and they'd take them out and compete and do like a derby. And basically the last gamecock standing won.
Yeah. Refer to them as cocks.
Yeah. Well, I went to USC, so our mascot was the Gamecock. So, like, we had girls walking around with, like, the short shorts with cocks on their butt.
You see how fast Eloy woke up from that nap?
The first thing he thought of.
That's a cock.
Well, not, you know what, Bales? You could just dirty up the, spoil the whole freaking cocks.
Me? You're the one, like, yeah, no, Mike, can... Michael, call them cocks, Michael.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I love the sexy
Slower.
Voice.
Yeah.
No. Can you sexy Slower. Up the voice? Michael, okay. Go ahead, Bales.
Now spank me, Michael.
Yeah. Throw in a spank me, too. Just let's just get it over with. It just reminded me of here in Miami. We there is a large cock tradition.
I bet there is.
Long pause there.
There's a large cock fighting tradition
in the Escajedo house.
Well, oh yeah, sword fight. It's sword fight Tuesday.
And the wheels fell off the bus early tonight.
You couldn't go with sword fight Saturday. I mean, really, you had to go with Tuesday.
Right. Where's well, the then flow you get, with that? You get
water Friday pistol night, right?
Friday night sword fight.
What'd you say?
Water gun Wednesday.
What was it?
Cha-ching.
Water gun Wednesday.
You could hear, how in throughout Muslim lands they have a through their speakers and whatever. Well, over in Miami,
is that a cartoon Auga horn you just did?
Well, don't they have like these sirens and you can hear from
maybe if we had a better podcast, we could get a soundboard.
Well, in Miami, it's swing and then everybody's out to play.
Wait. In Miami, Wayne's World swings and then everybody goes out.
It's pop
sword fights.
There's
have on you ever Tuesdays.
Heard have right. You ever heard right.
The have you ever heard the song Dancing in the Streets? The version where
Martha and the Vandellas or David Bowie and Jagger.
David Bowie and that other
and Jagger.
Yeah, that horrible.
That was 80s riffic.
Okay, well
Yeah, let's talk.
No longer
about
horrible.
Yeah, that's pretty bad. Actually, from your decade, defend it, sir. Defend your decade. Defend how you could look at it.
Well, actually, if you go out into the country in Miami, there are a lot of David Bowies out there hiding in the bushes.
What country? I thought it was all like city or swamp.
Well, the country is a swamp. So if you go out in the swamp, it's our country is swampy.
Okay.
So out there, there's in those nooks out towards farms and whatnot, just properties and stuff out tucked away, they have cockfights. They put their money down. They smoke marijuana out of paper bags. I mean, there's a whole seed.
The marijuana?
There's a whole seed. Culture out there. So I just wanted to throw that out there for you guys. But
marijuana cigarettes?
No, dude, they take paper bags, and because they don't have wrappers out there, so they just grab the.
They can't use their phone bill.
So they'll take.
Wait. What?
They'll take. They don't smoke the ganja, and by the way, everybody calls it the ganja. We don't call it.
I feel like that's only people over 40 that call it that.
I thought everyone in Miami called it the chronic and hold their gun sideways.
No, that's towards the city and town.
Rolling in your 5.0.
So no, I'm kidding about that.
You go shopping at Publix and they ask you paper or plastic, take paper so that you can roll your joints later. Is that what you're saying?
What these guys do is they go to the gas station. You know how they offer you like a little paper bag for your beer?
No, I don't.
You buy a single and they give you the paper bag to drop your single.
You gotta be able to brown bag it.
I don't mess around with singles.
Well, they'll take that bag, and after it's used, they'll crumple it. They'll put it up against the rock. Have you ever seen naked women from ancient worlds washing clothes against the rocks along a river, and they hit the clothes
in person?
And the clothes starts to, like, they hit the clothes with the rocks and they clean and rinse out. And, well, they do that with the paper bags, except they're old guys with, you know, sitting out in the bushes. And they'll roll joints with those things.
Like and, Cheech and Chong size joints?
Well, kind of.
Like a Subway footlong.
And they'll have rings, and then it'll get full of people, and they'll have cock fights. And so that's my look at Bales.
Sounds like a great place to live.
Yeah. Dude, you've got such a problem with this?
Well, I don't visit that. That's what I've been
told. Why do you know all about it then?
Maybe that's why you're so distraught where you live.
That's what I've been told from friends of friends.
Yeah.
Word around a camp. I might know some people who know some people who've been
there. But there is a lot of cockfighting down here as well.
Have you ever seen the stuff that they strap on to the chicken's feet? So
like with strap-ons?
Knives, right?
Yeah, so there's muffs that they use. And I think those are for practicing. They basically look like boxing gloves that go over like the stub of the spur.
Yeah.
And then, they've got gavs. Some of them are like needles, and some of them are actually like knives.
Wait a minute. So I'm picturing these chickens with boxing gloves on, and all I can think of is Foghorn Leghorn dancing around a ring.
Imagine
it. Imagine it with the boxing glove being like midway up the first half of their leg. They're pummeling. Their foot is not really hitting, but so they've got either like a boxing glove pad or a knife or basically a needle. I mean, they'll decapitate each other in like seconds.
Yeah, it's like kites. You know kites?
No. Like the Benjamin.
You don't know kites?
Like Benjamin Franklin kite?
Like flying one?
Yeah, what other kites are there? Come on, quick. One, two, go.
Kites. I thought maybe you were trying to lure us into a racial slur.
I thought it was like some Cuban slang for something. I didn't know.
Yeah, oh, you know.
It's like a really big joint in a paper bag.
Yeah, because, everybody knows about that.
You take little, like, razors and stuff, and you tie them to kites, and you have kite fights as well.
Oh, kite fights.
What? Yeah.
That's big deal, kite fighting.
Yeah. See, but here's the thing. In Miami, all cultures merge. You've got your eye ties. You've got your ganja smokers out in the woods. You got your razor blade kite
flyers.
Yeah.
You got kites. You got everything. So what happens if kite fights? So what happens is that everybody has a little bit of – see, Doc understood. Ryan thought I was freaking insane. I was going to say a bad word.
I think that we could have a kite fight night.
What?
I think we need to have a kite fight night.
And see, even Bales, he knows about the cockfights out in the woods. come on, it may be a little bit different, but you tell me.
I think you're talking about something else than you think you're talking about.
No, you take two kites, and you fight them in the air. with razors tied to them, and
highly,
you cut your enemy, and then once your kite is cut open, it falls to the
ground. I've actually seen what you're talking about.
Yeah, yeah. I can't believe you guys are so like
the cutthroat world of underground kite fighting.
Were you about to call us sheltered? We're talking about cockfighting.
Yeah, which by the way, if you would have asked me before the show to guess any topic we were going to come across, cockfighting would have been really, really low.
No, it was in my top three.
Was it? Well, see, you lead with the cock.
No, it was like red tunes, 80s music, cockfighting.
It's a great topic of conversation.
I have to know about Michael's new foray into griddles.
Oh man.
Tell us about this. So you had a grill, and what, it was one of those like 2-year replaceable grills that rots out on you?
Yeah, well, I mean, it looked nicer. You know, it was like a really big deal Christmas present when I got it. But yeah, it basically just rusted out. I caught it completely on fire. Like the remnants of the bottom that were still there were covered in grease and just completely went up. And I had like fire pouring out of the bottom and through the lid.
Towards the propane tank?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So I'm like in between, oh my God, all my food is on fire, and oh my God, I'm going to blow up the house. So yeah, I had to replace it, and we found the Blackstones on like a ridiculous sale. And this thing's like 36 inches wide. It's like 18 or 20 inches deep. And you can fit like so much food on there at one time.
You heard that, Bales?
Does it run on propane as well?
Yeah. Yeah. It's got 4 burners, and,
so underneath the hot plate is just a couple burners.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. The griddle is just like solid cold rolled steel. And they actually have made it to where you can take that off and put a grill top over the burners. I mean, it's basically a grill, but instead of having all the grates and, the like heat spreaders, you just got this giant griddle surface.
Do you have to season it like cast iron?
Exactly.
You do?
Okay. Yeah. Yeah, but I've not had any issues with rust yet.
No. It will. The bottom of it will. I have one too. The bottom of it will rust. There's nothing you can do about that. It's open flame on the bottom of it. You know what I mean? It's got to oxidize, but the top of mine's been fine.
Yeah, but they're so inexpensive.
I had the tabletop one. It's killer. It's
now what's the cost on replacing just the griddle top if say it gets so bad?
I think they're like 80, but
wow.
I mean, I got mine all totaled under $200.
Dang.
Yeah, but you're making
the cover was 30.
You're making like 30 eggs, 10,000 sausages.
Yeah.
No. So I'm cooking that for the whole week, and then I only have to cook like one time.
Oh, you're doing food prep.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, like wow. Tonight I made like 3 pounds of hamburger in hamburger patties, and cooked like 2 packs of squash and zucchini and some onion.
Okay.
To stir fry. Yeah.
Because I was like, I know he's going paleo, but this guy is housing the food. Jesus.
Nah, man. Yeah, I'll fill the griddle up with breakfast meat, and then that'll last all week for like 3 or 4 of us.
I used to work with that.
With breakfast meat?
With meats. Exclusively.
Yeah. In the Everglades, I used to do the kitchen as well, right? And
Gator burgers.
Dude, that's the best way to cook, dude.
Dude, it is.
It really is. By the way, Michael, I was just going to say that they were ready to toss me to the sea. They already started with the jokes. I'm trying to concentrate on the actual like facts and the merit of the story that you're telling.
Right, but merit. They're dirty. That's so what we have.
Yes. They always twist.
Right. Twisting and manipulating the story?
Doc does it sort of like mm-hmm. Very subtle, sub. And then Bales is very brash, and then Ryan is support, like he's cracking up and edging, and they just want you to fall, slip on the banana peel.
So
that you go down frickin' hill. And I'm just trying to concentrate on your official story. I share that experience of putting that meat on that,
putting it there.
Just laying it on, and these guys want to go into the dirty stuff. They ruin a clean show and turned it into what you
and to think that boys I prayed for so hard grew up to have but bad attitudes and filthy mouths.
How big is it?
What? Mine's a 36 inch wide.
Wow. Yeah. Congratulations.
How about yours, Doc?
I have the miniature, but it's not the size.
Yours? Yours, Bales?
I mean, I'm half Irish. and it's the bottom half.
It is colder up there too, right?
Yeah. So it's like 6 inches, maybe.
I want you to know that I've served several meals with mine, and they've told me that it was just fine.
The in-laws love it. Now, while we're on the topic of breakfast, I hear that you are quite knowledgeable when it comes to Waffle House.
Indeed.
Oh, dude, that's awesome.
Because Doc and I were talking that you just can't get a good waffle anywhere up here in the Northeast.
No. Yeah. Waffle House is anywhere they don't say y'all. Once you get up north far enough that y'all switches to use guys or you guys. Hey guys. Once you switch from y'all to use guys, it's no good.
Well, the thing is, they've got to at least be missing a tooth or three. And, well, and be that. Smoking we in got, the parking lot before oh, you get there.
We got
that too.
We got smoking meth in the parking lot. We got, fair all, enough. We got all kinds. It's just we lack that. The uptight Northeast, you lose that. You lose the ability to waffle correctly, I believe.
Is it waffle? You got to be able to smoke cigarettes and cook at the same time.
Is that the verb?
To waffle?
Yeah.
To waff?
One who waffles. Waffler. So now that you have griddle experience, Mike, if you want, we have a spot on the Dangles griddle.
Yeah, for you. Dude. Okay, so I actually listened to the Dangles episode earlier today, and it reminded me of this job I had.
Wait, what?
Right, great segue, right? So I applied to work at this sandwich shop. It was called the Sub Pub. And so I show up and the boss legitimately looked like Ron Jeremy.
Or the waist down?
Like face, for real.
Before or after a movie?
So I show up. It's like 10:30 in the morning. I don't know what I'm there to do except run this little knockoff Subway.
Was there a funky bass line playing?
Probably should have been. So he hands me a catering tray.
Did you shake his hand?
Anyway, so we go load this catering food in his trunk, and he tells me to hop in. We're going to go do a catering job. I've been there for 10 minutes. We show up to a strip club, and he goes, "Hey, you're 18, right?" So a big part of my job for the next year and a half was catering the lunch buffet at a strip club.
What?
Yeah. So we walk in and it's a quarter to 11 in the morning. And the place is already pitch black. They got the music going and you can't see anything in there anyway. He flips down his aviators and goes, "This is one of the perks of the job." And So between the door and setting the food down, it was like, and all you could stare at buffet was what he was trying to get at.
Oh yeah. My God.
Creeped me out so bad.
That is so funny, dude.
Because that's where you go when you want a good lunch buffet.
Well, here's the thing. You think Hooters is bad, right? And you think like eating in a strip club, first of all, like totally.
Oh yeah, dude. I
can't even imagine. Eating in a strip club at 11 in the morning. Really can't imagine who's working at 11 in the morning at a strip club, though. And think about it.
That's the A tier talent.
This is the C team. You know, the second string's there to relieve the top talent at night. These are the ones that have to drop little Johnny off at school.
Yeah.
And then like have to get done working the stage in time to go pick him up.
Yep. It's
yeah. What would you order from a menu?
Yeah,
strip club at like 1 o'clock in the morning, and I mean, what? And I mean, would you order the soup? Would you order like?
It's not 1 o'clock. It's 11.
I think if you order the chowder, it's a problem.
Yeah. What would you order from there? If let's say you're at a strip joint in the middle of nowhere, and you're super hungry. It's dark, and you know the sticky floors and bad lighting, and like just you know, oh, you guys.
Something I could eat with a fork, maybe.
So what do you order?
I don't have to pick up and eat with my hands. I don't know why finger food seems so much worse. Like a cheesesteak or like a burger. It seems so much worse.
Fries.
Yeah. But this was a breakfast buffet, right?
No, this was lunch. We had a standing order 3 days a week. I would bring in. So they had a chafing dish on the left and the right of this table.
Holy!
And what did you say? Chafing?
I think that's what they're called. Yeah, chafing dish.
What?
Chafing. Yeah, if you go to any catered event, they've got like the metal tray holding the food, and there's like a Sterno can underneath it if it's hot.
Okay.
Yeah. Alcohol burner.
So they've got one of those on one side of a bowl and one on the other. In the bowl, we would put like four bags of chips, like Subway bags of chips, little tiny bags.
Okay.
It's totally dumb, but that's what we had. The left side would be cold, and we'd do like half of a pan of sandwiches and half a pan of like pasta salad. Here's the thing. The sandwiches were like regular loaf bread sandwiches. We were a sub shop. We were proofing our own. But we'd go buy like loaves of bread to do this crap.
Would they make their own, or you had the sandwiches?
No, bread? I had to go to Publix because it was down the block. I would go to Publix and pick up like a loaf of bread per day and make like as many sandwiches as would fit in the pan.
So let me ask you this, and this is important. I'd like to know, just to get this clear. While you were working at the strip club, would you get tipped?
No. It was way better than that to me. I could go in, clock in, go cater, eat whatever food didn't fit in the catering pans.
Oh, you're eating the food.
Not really working. Well, I was making it. I would eat it before I got there.
Okay. Yeah, okay. You made eye contact with the patrons, though. Which that had to every time you did that, they could add a little bit more. That had to take a little of your soul.
No, I tell you,
every time they asked you for a little bit more, hey there, fella, you want to fill that up? Oh, no.
The hot side of the food we would bring had to be able to be cooked in the bread oven.
Like, hey, big guy, I'm here for your hot lunch.
I'm telling you, I would get there sometimes, and people would be waiting in line for me to put it down.
Really
serious? I mean, they looked hard up for some food.
Man,
was the crowd generally large, or
it would just depend. If I got there a little late, there would be, you know, maybe 20, 30 people.
Jeez.
Wow.
Yeah. On a weekday.
I actually got called in to fill in for the other strip club that they owned. yeah. So this company is apparently like a drug front for shipping stuff from
Michael.
Miami.
Michael, there's a crazy Julio on the phone for you right now.
Can we call this episode Hot Lunch? That quote from Doc was perfect. Hot Lunch.
This the dude who managed the one I normally did, his name was something crazy like Aljo, and he always wore these like bright
Aljo
bright suits. He looked like he probably lived in Miami previously.
Hey.
He had a Scarface calendar in the control room where they would pay me. It was like this empty room with just like the surveillance camera feed, one of those money machines.
That's Miami, all right.
But yeah, they called me up one day. They're like, "Hey, the guy for the other club called in sick. Like, we need you to cater over there too." So I didn't get there until almost 1 because I had to finish the first club, go buy food, cook it, and bring it out to the second. And that place was just slam packed. And I was bringing in teriyaki meatballs that day, and I was getting teriyaki sauce all over the floor because I kept getting bumped into.
No, man. Dude.
My, how we strayed from the Waffle House topic.
No, but wait a second. Really? They would bump into you? You've got teriyaki spilling off the sides, people frothing and dancing, the lights shine. I mean, freaking
sticky sauce getting all over their feet.
And so the dancers in the two clubs, did they interchange, or were they like different? Like,
oh, I've got no idea. The only interaction I ever had with any of the dancers, I'd made some loaded French fries, and I was carrying them up the steps of this place.
Some loaded French fries?
I'm serious. That was one of the things that the strippers requested.
Oh, I'm sure. Okay, keep going. This is good.
So they had this massive brick staircase up into the strip club. And I wore sandals most of the time, which is a terrible idea considering.
Open-toed shoes in the strip
club. I was in college. I didn't think about that at the time.
You know what?
I'm going to throw up right
now.
So
I trip walking in and
you know what? That just made
this episode.
Hold on. That,
we, We're gonna get shut down by the health department for this.
Hold on. That just made you a full member of Scratch in my book. I don't care. Sandals in a nightclub.
Yeah, no, that's hardcore. You
filling
you,
teriyaki you, sauce. I
actually had to change my sandals after the teriyaki sauce incident.
Oh,
but yeah. So I'm standing there. I've got loaded French fries all over the stairs. They're about to open for lunch, and I've got two strippers coming out and like trying to sweep the steps while I'm, you know, picking up French fries.
What is wrong with this?
But did you enjoy the job? That's all that matters.
I mean, I enjoyed the sub pub gig, not so much the catering. I mean, it's a funny story to tell, but really just being able to clock in, hardly ever serve anybody, and get to eat and then take food to go.
So no, you don't take the food afterwards.
Well, no, not the strip club food. Like,
okay. No, dude, no.
Like the hot stuff really would be like just frozen crap from Sam's Club.
Yeah, crotch particles in here.
Oh, man. Dude, this is like the best ever. I'm sure we'll regret it later.
Wait, what was that, though? What'd you call that, Michael? The teriyaki sauce incident?
Yeah, man.
I think that's the name of this episode.
He's like packing up all the stuff. He's closing down the brunch. He's like, "I'll see you at home, Ma."
No, dude, you can't do that, Doc. You made a quote. You said something, and that's the freaking that's a.
I don't know. He said hot lunch, and he also said crotch particles, which is
hot. What was it? Hot lunch? He said hot.
Yeah, hot lunch.
Crotch particles in the teriyaki incident.
Yeah, well, we'll figure it out. This is my job. Back off.
Hey, I think Bales was digging for Waffle House because he wanted to hear your Waffle House order that you can ramble.
Yeah, yeah.
Let's get back to the Waffle House.
But before he goes back to that, your teriyaki sauce spilling in the freaking stripper club and loaded fries and the whole thing.
Heartbreakers.
You have no idea how you solidified.
Yeah, no, you got your scratch wings for that.
Yes, dude. What you've just and it came from such a natural place. I would never have sworn to such. I mean, this is incredible.
That's one of those stories you tell the first day on the job when you get hired for a new gig. Yeah. Like, hi, Michael. I used to cater a strip club.
Yeah. And I know that Bales enjoyed it a lot because you could see, but he doesn't express it. I mean, you should, Bales, do you agree with the story? What do you think? It was good, right?
I'm expressing it from the belt down. Yeah.
I thought I heard a thud.
I threw up in my mouth a little bit there when, what was that one part?
I'm sorry, dude.
You guys caught me. I had a spit take. I choked a little bit.
I wish I could go through the menu and tell you some of the crazy stuff we would do. Dude was getting crab with a K, Krabby Patties from Sam's Club.
Oh, no.
And basically like fish sticks with cheese. And that was like, we would do that once a week. That Aljo Cat was asking for like Cornish game hen or something. And we're like, the people coming here at 11 a.m. to watch naked women do not want Cornish game hen.
And yet they did.
Those of us who were up all night were in no mood for coffee and donuts.
Yeah. And did everybody eat? I mean, was everybody like, oh, look, let's go.
I don't know. I really was setting it on the table and getting out of there.
You know, that's bull. Now you're backing away from it.
Man, I'm going to put
I saw the place with the lights on one too many times.
No, dude, come on. You were sitting right there by the freaking end just eating, what was it, the teriyaki and watching
teriyaki fries.
I can make that from the comfort of my own restaurant.
He was eating his loaded fries.
Something tells me that he was putting the food on the table, running outside, doing a quick costume change, coming in the back door, and all you'd hear is, welcome, Mikella, to the stage.
Ladies and gentlemen, coming up next to the stage is Mikella. Everyone, give a big hand to Mikella. What would your song be, Mike?
I mean,
loaded fries.
Come on. Maybe something slow.
Cars That Go Boom by La Trim.
What?
Oh, that is not what I thought you would say.
Maybe Boom, I Got Your Boyfriend.
I think we need to add that to the list officially. What's your stripper song? What's your stripper song? We need to go around the room for that one at some point.
Yeah, I'll have to think on that. I mean, those just came to mind because
everybody put on your thinking caps and we'll come back on that one next week. But
They used to play Thunderstruck almost every time I was in there.
Thinking. What were some of the greatest hits, being that you spent so much time there?
Really, it would be that kind of classic, you know, AC/DC kind of rock.
I'm sure some Pour Some Sugar on Me was played.
Oh, definitely. You know, probably some Rattlesnake Shake.
Yeah, She's My Cherry Pie.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, stuff that mildly suggestive and still kind of rocking.
Nice.
It's disgusting. But I need to hear the Waffle House order now.
Yeah. So we grew up going to a place called Steak and Waffle, and it kind of shuttered after the Waffle House opened.
Waffle House took out Steak and Waffle?
Yeah, believe it or not. Yeah, the Waffle House, you know,
Steak and Waffle sounds supreme to me.
Well, it was. We actually had a guy that had been a chef on like Air Force One. And you want to talk about somebody who knew his way around a griddle. We were in there all the time. But the Waffle House came. Video poker had also been a big part of the Steak and Waffle. Like half of the dining room was just video poker machines, and then they outlawed that here.
Smoking inside?
Well, the smoking got banned, but the video poker really killed it. Because, I mean, people would come in there and sit for like 8 hours at a time. But
do you remember a time you were going in there? Do you remember a time going in there when they would have people gunning butts playing the poker machines?
Dude, yeah, the entire time.
Oh, yeah. Ceiling stained yellow. Oh, that's just what a wonderful time in history. Yeah, we smoked inside. No problem.
I kind of missed that. Everything looked older back then.
It did. It had such a vintage tint to it.
My favorite part was, do you want to sit non-smoking or smoking? Everywhere was freaking smoking if you could smoke inside.
Yeah. But yeah. So we started eating at the Waffle House. So my order has always been chicken and eggs over light, hash brown scattered extra well covered. Sometimes peppered, and then a coffee.
Yep, covered and peppered, still the best.
Scattered.
What the hell does any of that mean?
Yeah, let's. All right. For us that don't speak this. Waffle House.
Okay.
Let's break this down.
So that's the order, and then the waiter or waitress will call to the short order cook. They'll have to mark a plate. So they will pull one chicken. So that's a marinated chicken breast. At one point, Waffle House actually changed it to either two or three breasts instead of one, but it's back to just one now. Two eggs over light, so that's a runny yolk, no doneness, like no hardness or charring on the eggs, and then the hash browns are scattered wider so that they get more done. Traditionally, they're all soft, but if you get them scattered extra well, they get a little more
scattered. We would call that up here well done. You just asked for
right.
Well done. Okay, so yeah. Scattered. Okay, I was so
scattered
I was wondering.
Extra well. They're all scattered by default, but scattered extra well gets them actually done.
Oh, all right.
Peppered is a slice of American cheese, and peppered is jalapeno.
Peppered is jalapeno.
Yep.
Wow.
Smothered and covered and cracked and sacked and.
But since I started doing the low carb thing, I switched up to the bacon chicken cheese deluxe sandwich, no bun, and a bowl of chili covered instead of the hash browns.
What's covered mean again?
Cheese. Yeah, American cheese.
Like Kraft singles?
Oh. Basically.
Oh.
None of that spicy Spanish German cheese.
And the Waffle House sauce is basically Thousand Island.
Yeah, but it's got like a chipotle flavor thrown in there to like kind of throw you off.
Oh, okay. So spicy.
It's definitely just like a special sauce, but it's got something on the chipotle barbecue spectrum in there.
So maybe it's like barbecue sauce in Thousand Island.
Maybe. I don't know if you've had Chick-fil-A sauce, but it's somewhere akin to that kind of smoky tinge.
Dig it.
So if we can all get down to Atlanta, we have to go out to Waffle House with Mike and just let him
totally. Do his thing.
Oh, I'll have what he's having, please. when in Rome, just walk around the whole time. Yeah, I'm down.
Another thing that I noticed from your life is your affinity for board games.
Yeah, that's been kind of an obsession lately.
But it's like all across the board.
Sometimes
you're playing something simple like Sorry, but then sometimes you're going full out Dungeons and Dragons, right?
Yeah,
there's other games that I don't even know. And I was trying to think back to youth. You know, I played Life and Monopoly and Trouble and Sorry. But do you remember a game? It was called Crossbows and Catapults.
Yeah. I've never gotten to play it, but that's really? Yeah, it's fairly expensive now.
Yeah, you'd buy the starter kit and it had like a little castle tower for each side and some bricks. And each side would have a crossbow and a catapult. And then you could upgrade to like the stupid dragon that was a really crappy catapult. And you'd have all these stupid action figures. So basically you were trying to break the wall and topple the opponent's tower.
Yeah, I've actually seen a wooden version of some of that too.
What was it called?
Yeah.
Crossbows and Catapults. Or was it Crossbows and Catapults or Catapults Crossbows?
It's Crossbows and Catapults.
Okay. Yeah. Sounds
like fun.
I loved it. I don't know what the hell happened to it.
I would like to play a large version of that, like in the backyard.
Oh, jeez.
How fun would that be, right?
I would want to build a catapult.
65 bucks on eBay. Etsy has a vintage 1983 one for 200 bucks.
Oh, I had it from the 80s, baby. I just don't know. But so you're playing games. Oh, and then other times you'll just be playing straight up card games, right? Like Uno or.
Yeah, or Hand and Foot and
Exploding Kittens.
Aggressive Rummy. Yeah, yeah. So my wife's family's always been really big into games. They've got a pretty decent selection of stuff. We grew up playing kind of like you were saying, just, you know, Monopoly and Clue and just the random stuff like that. Once my kid got to where she was old enough to like care, you know, you can only play Candyland so many times. So I was trying to find stuff that we could kind of, you know, play more stuff with her. And I've been like a lifelong thrift store junkie. So it kind of got out of control there. And then when I figured out that there was like this whole world of adult games,
whoa.
I mean, not like adult, but, you know, stuff that's not just like roll and move. It really kind of blew my mind, and combining the thrift store cheapskate aspect with like trying to play all sorts of stuff.
You can find the most obscure games at thrift stores.
Did anybody else think teriyaki?
I was trying to stay clean because he was talking about playing games with his daughter, you sick bastard.
Yeah,
dude, this is the only place you say teriyaki and you're like scolded for it.
So like when you thrift store games, do you open the boxes to make sure?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, I'll cut the tape off. My Goodwills are terrible about taping stuff up. But yeah, you've got to inventory it. I had initially thought that I would be buying and flipping on eBay, but the shipping is just way too expensive, especially with the vintage stuff. You know, the boxes are like, you know, 2 feet long.
Yeah.
You can't ship any of that for less than 15 flat rate.
So do you have a game that you loathe?
Yeah. So for my birthday this year, I got a couple games, but I specifically went and paid my own like Amazon gift card money for King of Tokyo. It's rated super high on Board Game Geek. It's got rave reviews. I watched gameplay of it on a tabletop on YouTube. Will Wheaton does this like play board game with celebrities series.
Do you mean Will Wheaton?
I was gonna do that.
And so we got it and we tried to play it and literally everybody hated it. And so like I shelved it and like nobody would play it with me. So my wife and I were at the local game store and she's like, hey, let's ask them to teach us. Maybe we're playing it wrong. Literally every employee there was like, yeah, we don't get it. We don't like it.
Oh, wow.
So I hawked it a couple months ago.
Yeah, I couldn't stand Boggle I still can't stand Boggle.
I used to like it as a kid. I haven't played it in probably 20 years.
And everybody knows that playing Scattergories is a good way to wreck a family.
Together. There's a really great way to play that where everybody gets a different card. It's called Wrong Scattergories.
Hmm.
So everybody gets a different card. You fill in all these answers, and then you basically have a moderator who reads from another card entirely, and then everybody picks their best answer to fit, almost like apples to apples or Cards Against Humanity.
That sounds interesting.
My family's traditions are overeating, passive aggressiveness, and
passing the buck.
Yeah, passing the buck and guilt. That's what
How about passing pass?
No.
No.
So
not when grandma or my mom's around. They'll whoop your ass. Oh,
no, but is it okay in any of your respective families to just like family oriented just belting out some
Oh, dude, we blow ass left and right in my family.
I didn't expect that. Okay, go ahead.
Well, it's all boys, right?
No, man. All the women, everyone. We are very comfortable around it.
You're telling us that you come in from home and Amy's just blowing a trumpet fanfare.
She puts me to shame.
Is she gonna be mad that you're telling us this?
No, not at all.
Jeez.
Yeah, because
like if she was a dude,
she's like a jazz trombonist. What, you'd be gay? What?
If she was a dude, yeah. She's my soulmate, man.
Was that a Steel Panther reference?
Was it?
Yeah, because farting in general, it's like something that you have to go into a secret area as if, I mean, it should be normal. Exactly. It should be, you should be
able to. You ever read the book Everybody Poops?
No, that's great.
Right. Same concept.
I think that's a revelation.
Everybody farts too.
Well, yeah, dude, we should be able to fart in every circumstance, in every situation. Think about it. It's such a stupid, like, non-rule rule. You should be able to stand, like, let's say at a court hearing, and the judge is there, and you go...
How do you plead, Eloy Escajedo?
That's what I plead, Your Honor.
I plead that I had the breakfast burrito, and I'm not feeling too well right now, Your Honor.
I had the free buffet at Chappie's Strip Club.
Yeah. This guy with the open-toed shoes. I don't know. I think he washed his hands.
There was some toe hair in my meatballs.
Yeah, I don't think he was washing his hands. It was teriyaki.
Toe hair?
Ryan is 100% right on that. I have the same issue that you guys have because, like, you guys are – obviously, Ryan is not normal in this scenario because most people will hide somewhere and let it – when you really just want to go, but everyone
is that really how it goes down?
Must be the Cuban food.
It's supposed to let it out. I mean, even if your guts explode right out of it, it doesn't matter. But it's supposed to be a release, not a slow like a balloon. When you take the balloon tip and you,
yeah, it should smell like a bullfrog croaking in a 55-gallon steel drum.
I mean. I work in an office, so I can't do that. And Michael used to be a librarian, so I'm sure that's frowned upon.
Oh, dude, you must have issues when you're there and you got to fart. What do?
Dude, find a book, I guess. I don't know. I never had that issue.
Find a book.
You know, everybody loves to open the books and smell them, right?
The librarian kiss.
No, dude, but that is a problem, dude. You got to let it go. You got to release it, man. Just fart, dude. Mm-hmm. Don't hold that sucker in. You're doing more damage than good to yourself. I'm with Ryan on this one, dude. Come on. Quickly. Say something.
I never want to read another book.
No, I'm definitely not going to the library anymore.
I fell asleep on my book last night, and I got pink eye.
I thought that old lady was up to something. Now I know.
So is that like when you open a book from the library and we know that familiar smell, it's not really the smell of the book. It's really librarian farts.
Yeah, it's who shelved it last, I guess.
Yeah. Oh, shelved it.
Do you guys find it something to – have you ever just said screw it? And this is for all of you guys. Have you ever just said screw it? I got a fart. I'm in a public space. There's people all around me. I'm just going to drop one right now. I don't care.
And no, just, you animal. You don't do it in public.
I mean, do we know anybody there?
By the way, you exercise.
Give me some details here.
I want to just point out that you must exercise some fantastic sphincter control to be able to just blow like that in public and not be afraid of shitting yourself. Yeah. Because you're just like, just let it go, man. It's like, you can't do that.
He has a two-valve system.
Yeah. There's no check. There's a check valve there, man. Once you get so far out, it's not coming back.
So you just said that, and we had an episode, two or three or four episodes, and when I said, have you ever crapped your pants? And a lot of you guys we're like covered up and said, and now that we're using fart instead of just direct poop, you're now admitting that that if you fart, you might charred the whole place. So
I think that's with the caveat of exercising control during the fart.
Right.
Yeah. Well, I'll agree with you. There are situations where you're afraid to fart because you could.
You can't trust it. You can't trust the fart.
Can't trust this. Can't trust.
Well, Amy tells the boys that like if their fart stinks, that the fart went around or went through the poop, and if it doesn't stink, it went around the poop.
What?
That's what she's always told them since they were little.
Science.
Yes.
Because science.
Yes.
Hashtag science.
No, but I'm with seriously, I'm with Ryan on this one. You guys should back him up too. We should all be able to fart publicly, just nonstop.
Yeah.
And I never said anything about farting publicly. I said around my family. You took it to a whole new level, you savage.
I mean, Eloy doesn't have family, and he doesn't really have a job. He works from home.
Yeah, he walks around Publix just putting
left and right. And... Yeah, just
honestly,
Chowder spokesperson.
Okay. I was at Walmart today,
just crop dusting people, just spraying the aisles. Just
I was at Walmart today, and yeah. It's the best place because you can do all that stuff and people don't even, I mean, come on.
How many pair of sweatpants do you buy?
I didn't get no sweatpants.
You're the kind of person that pees in a public pool, aren't you? Oh.
I would never do that. See, that's one thing. If it's people dipped in liquid, I will not contribute.
People
dipped in liquid. Is that a wide-spanning category?
It has to be.
I'll take people dipped in liquid for $800. People dipped
in liquid. If it's in the open air... If it's in the open air, yes. But dipped in liquid, I will not.
What part of your dungeon is for the people dipped in liquid?
That's the greatest. That's the greatest like classification for people ever. It's like, is he dipped in liquid? You know, no, that guy.
I know you guys agree. In a better world, we would all be able to fart and not hold back.
He's a liquid American.
So, are you opposed to farting in public pools?
No, you could fart as long as you don't chard.
Especially a jacuzzi.
Dipped in liquid.
Right, oh, yeah.
I can feel it.
Jacuzzi, yeah, dude.
Yes, does the temperature of the liquid have anything to do with the rule?
Or the viscosity of it? Like no, chowder?
No, dude, the main rule is, and serious, we may joke, but the main rule is to do no harm to others. But if it's in the air, it's different because... It's
right. Liquid, you know, is
right. It's in the air. So you sniffed a little bit of that butt fart. It's your problem. You were standing too close. But
what if you're inside? Then it's not in the open air.
What do you mean inside? You fart what?
What if you're inside the house?
Oh, in the house. Oh.
Yeah, you said you're not open air.
Oh no. Do you think
this is a bigger concern for nudists?
Oh my goodness, dude. That's horrible.
We should get a nudist on the show.
Is there some kind of etiquette?
Do we know any?
Oh my goodness, dude. That's horrible. Could you imagine?
Like, do you get shunned from the nudist colony if you fart?
I mean, you've got nothing barriering that.
Could you imagine if that's the nudist's hang up? It's like, yeah, he was farting the whole day. We kicked him out.
Yeah, but we were meant to be naked, dude. If you think about it, we were meant to be nude. I mean, were we meant to wear... Like the shirt and no, none of that. We were meant to be naked, dude.
No. Nude.
Seriously.
No, we're not.
Like the mother.
I've looked at myself in the mirror and I was not meant to be naked.
No, because that's all social judgment, Ryan.
That's a personal opinion.
That's people, all.
Burning when you're out in the sun, you're supposed to be naked for sure. Absolutely. All these people you see walking around with umbrellas because they can't be outside because the sun.
I mean, if we came from monkeys, then I have to agree with Eloy.
Well, here's the thing, dude. A lot of people think that we are like not attached to this world. Like it's us and everything else. Dude, we're part of this whole ecosystem. So it's like we are naturally supposed to, like all these people that talk about, oh, we're destroying the planet. Isn't that maybe? But we got brains, and we're supposed to be
some of us do.
Well, that's true. We're supposed to be naked and fart when we want to fart and live it free.
No, we're not.
Yeah, we are, dude. We have too many hang-ups. We have too many hang-ups. We got to fart when we want to fart.
I don't think that I wear my clothes because I'm afraid of people looking at me. It's like armor. You go throughout your day. I couldn't imagine. Could you imagine me on a ladder? just chilling. Hey, you want to hand me that wrench? You know what I mean? Rubbing up against stuff, or like getting into the work truck. The seatbelt thing goes up my ass. Like, that's not fun. you gotta think you were enclosed to protect your body from outside. If we were the first thing that the naked people did, whatever billion years ago or however many years we go back, was get themselves some clothes. If they would have had access to t-shirt and jeans on the caves, there'd be dudes walking around with Nirvana t-shirts and ripped jeans because, like, this is great. Look at us. We don't have to worry about cutting ourselves on the rocks when we fall.
No, dude, look at the Amazon tribes that you see in the, like, what is it? That thing?
The dudes that just wear, like, a gourd on their penis with a rope?
Yeah, you just put, like a some sort of freaking, what is it?
Some sort of wiener gourd.
Yeah, they take a hollow piece of freaking, I don't know, tree branch, and they put it on their cock, and then they walk around the forest. That's natural, dude.
Are you selling those on Etsy now, by the way?
Dude, yeah. That's a good idea.
Yeah. Live edge.
Hashtag live edge.
Artisanal wiener gourd.
Rope not included.
Not associated with any real tribe.
He's got to keep it under a certain size for shipping.
Wiener gourd. Hashtag wiener gourd.
Oh my goodness!
I know you all agree. I mean, I know you all agree. Natural is the way to go, dude.
Completely disagree.
Dude, but that's
having been at the strip club at 10 a.m.
Disagree strongly.
disrespectfully disagree.
Could they use some gourds?
You would, because you wouldn't have a job.
They'd need whole pumpkins.
Nobody would go to a strip club because, you know.
Is that a watermelon? Yes, indeed it is.
Now coming to the stage, Flapjack Susie.
We're going to have to get to asking Lolly these questions here pretty soon.
I was just going to say. Did you have any time to think about your strip club dance number?
Oh, yeah. We didn't do that, did we?
Man, there's so many good answers.
Well, let's hear some.
Yo Mama's on Crack Rock.
Okay.
See, I don't know any of these. I'm going to go with Bullet Boys, Smooth Up In Ya.
Yes.
Oh, dude, you just named the band. Dude, that band was bad to the bone, dude.
Hey, man, I'm there for you, baby.
I said the F word.
It happened.
Dude, that band was bad to the bone, dude.
Okay, Ryan, coming to the stage.
Don't go to me yet.
All right, Ryan, have you guys heard the Bullet Boys?
Probably heard the song if you played
Michael it. His eyes lit up.
Yeah.
Yeah, dude. I've requested that on the classic.
I'm trying to decide what kind of dance I'm going to be doing first. So I know what kind of music would fit it.
Oh,
am I going to be gyrating? Sliding up and down the pole?
Mine would be a slow jab.
Damn, dude, but you guys have no idea, dude. Now that is going back to the day. When stuff, dude, that was, I'm sorry, continue. That was good. Good work, Bales.
Thanks, man.
Damn, that's a, do you have their album?
Yeah.
Oh, man.
I loved the Bullet Boys.
With the apple and the bullet running.
Oh, yeah.
Man, what a freaking awesome. That was, dude, if you guys haven't heard.
We'll check it out.
Yeah, dude, that was so cool.
All right, so you can't pick that song, Eli. What's your song? Coming to the main stage.
Oh, dude, I'll pick the Bullet Boys one.
I just said you can't have the same one.
I can't. I mean, that was, no, dude, that was good, dude.
I mean, even if we're on different shifts, maybe he can. Or are we going to, like, maybe we do a duo? A synchronized dance?
Synchronized stripping?
Yeah.
Oh, no.
Yeah. Oh, I'm into this now.
Synchronized strip team.
Yeah, I'm gonna go with smooth up in you. We'll do the thing.
Oh, double dance! Look how you guys finally getting along. Oh, look at what it took to bring you guys together. Smooth up in you and a double strip tease.
I just can't think of a song.
What would you be wearing? Do you guys have outfits picked out? Something. I think. Wow, you guys
kind are gonna Carmen Miranda number.
Yeah, you guys are gonna message each other later and be like, "Hey, I'm game if you are."
Oh yeah.
That's not even right. I mean, a wholesome song from the eight, and you're doing that to it. I mean, I'm just excited for the song. But we could wear gimp mask.
Gimp mask with breakaway denim. I'm with you.
Breakaway denim. Oh my goodness, dude. Shit. Dude, we could go rock and roll, dude. With the remember the denim jackets with all the patches, dude.
Oh yeah,
that would. I could see the two of you rolling into like a bachelorette party. Dressed like cops. Whose car is parked out front? I give you the right to remain sexy. And then you hit the boombox button, Eloy's boombox button.
I know we've said this before.
Wait, we don't have the budget for a boombox. So it'd probably be a Walkman with like a headphone splitter.
Or just one of you. No, it'd be like a cheap drum machine. Metronome.
Yeah. I mean, I guess we have smartphones these days, so we could just do some play it on the phone.
Play Pandora.
Yeah.
You mean with that high treble?
Yeah. Free Pandora with the ads. So at some point you'd be dancing to the ads.
Yeah. You can skip this ad in 3 seconds. Like, damn it.
No, you can't because I didn't pay for it. You got to listen to the whole thing.
No, I hate to, too, but since you mentioned denim and then the patches and stuff, I don't know if you guys experienced that. I know we've touched upon it sometime, but I don't know. But we used to have the denim jackets covered with rock and roll patches. There were actual industries formed to make patches for people that were purchasing all across America.
The back patch. The entire back patch, right?
It was the entire back patch. Mine was, I think I had Metallica and Justice for All. I know I had an Anthrax patch. I know I had a Motley Crue patch. Rat. I don't remember all of them.
I might have had all the jackets, man.
No, because you'd have small ones on the sleeves. I mean, you could.
Oh, I see. Yeah.
Yeah, you'd have to. It's not just one. You'd want to cover your jacket, and you'd go to school, and everybody. Well, the cool people, the rockers, because you had your bros, you know, and your jocks, and you had your all these other people, but like the loners and the rockers all wore that, or all in black. And it was just bad to the bone, dude. You knew that a guy with rock patches on his jacket, that dude was cool. You saw a guy wearing like, what is it? What's the one with the little bunny on it? What do you call those stupid shirts? The preppy kids, whatever.
The polo shirts.
The polo shirts. Yeah. Oh yeah, the little guy. And you knew they were idiots. And it was just fun, dude.
Yeah. I had a leather jacket, so.
Did you guys ever do that? Wear the jackets with the in your eras?
I bought a patch, but I never had a jacket to put it on.
No. Lord, no.
What'd you do with it?
It sat in the bottom of my sewing basket. It's probably still there, actually. Oh, it's the big Misfits Crimson Skull.
Nice.
So,
Ryan, what's your song?
I think I've been thinking about it, and I think I'm going to have to go with Tiny Dancer.
Oh,
dude, that's disturbing, dude. That's
very disturbing.
Is that what you call your penis?
There could be many implications.
That's what Amy calls it.
Yeah. Oh yeah. Hey, Rye. How about you give me that Tiny Dancer?
Hold me closer, Tiny Dancer.
Oh God.
That's hilarious. Can you imagine the needle drops? Blue jeep. Everyone looking at each other. What the hell is going on here?
That's actually a good song.
It's a great song. Just, you know.
Not appropriate for the situation.
Not for Ryan.
No.
All right, Doc. What's bringing your dangles front and center?
The song I keep going back to. I don't know why I wanted a slow song. I keep going back to Madonna, Take a Bow. And I think it's because it's a joke that I heard from a comedian. He was talking about like bad strip clubs and that like a woman danced to that. So I just can't get past that. I could rock that. That's good.
Yeah. Dude, this would be the crappiest strip club ever.
Good.
Is it attached to a Dangles like in a strip
club? Yeah, well, I think that it's just part of our Dangles franchising. Eventually, we just move next door to all the bad strip clubs.
It's like a complex in a strip mall.
Well, now that we brought Michael strip
club serve food.
Yeah, now that we've brought the open toe assassin on board, he's we're ready to go. We've got the guy with experience on the griddle.
Running. Gosh, we are fabulous at recruiting.
We are,
dude. You know what? You're right. You want a job, dude?
I'm there, man.
He's already hired. It's me and Mike on the griddle.
Yeah,
we're good to go. Now with
toed shoes, right?
Not me.
It's not proper Dangles attire, Doc.
Well, I'm sorry, but I've, you know, protection.
I did switch to the Mario Batali Crocs after a while.
Yeah, I have. I'm a proponent because I've got the bad back. So when I take my boots off, I've got to watch what shoes I wear. I have the ones without the holes in them for in the kitchen, and they're great for in the shop because sawdust doesn't get in your socks.
Oh yeah, no, mine have holes.
Yeah, to let your dignity out.
Yeah.
I have the same pair in orange as well.
I actually started. We had USC Athletics gave the marching band Gamecock Crocs. So I went through like three pairs of those.
What were they called?
Gamecock Crocs.
Say that three times fast.
Yeah. They had a little boxing glove like three quarters of the way up.
Yep.
I think they have a spur on there.
It was a gourd. Scratched.
First car.
So my first car was a 1964 Chevy pickup, a C10.
Ooh.
Nice. It had a 230 cubic inch motor. We swapped it out for a 400. We had it decked and bored and put on some purple horny glass pack mufflers. And then it was deemed too fast and loud. And I wound up with my mom's Toyota Camry.
Oh man. So what happened to the truck? It sold it?
My dad had it up until sometime this year. He sold it.
Oh wow. He wouldn't give it back?
I mean, I probably could have got it back at some point. But I mean, it's, you know, I got kids. A bench seat's not exactly, you know, the best thing for a family of four.
Oh man. I didn't say take your kids out on it. I just said keep it.
Right.
God damn it.
Yeah, no, I'd love to have one down the road.
All right, favorite toy.
You know, as a kid, Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles action figures.
They were good.
We had a bunch. I was definitely turtle. An action figure kid.
Who's your favorite turtle?
Michelangelo.
Gotta be, right?
Unless you're Wes Swain and that's Raphael.
Yeah, which is wrong. That answer is wrong.
That's not mine.
I had to be Raphael for Halloween one year. Like, I was Michelangelo. But the freaking store only had the red mask.
Is it wrong that I was the Donatello guy?
Yeah.
It is?
Pretty much.
Really? I can't believe that. I've got to go rethink my whole life.
In fact, there's an episode of Workaholics where that's like the worst thing they can say about somebody.
Really?
Yeah.
I thought he built stuff. I thought he was like...
Yeah, he did.
Oh.
Michelangelo's a party dude, though.
Yeah, man.
But I thought Donatello was like, you know, buds with Casey Jones. And
yeah, but his weapon is a stick.
But it was a big stick. And he, I thought he was like kind of like wasn't good at fighting and just kind of like was like, oh, I'll make sure that the party wagon's oil's changed. Keep up on the tire rotations and stuff.
Donatello is a gearhead, what you're saying?
Well, yeah. Can't all be good at fighting.
Wait, wait, wait. So was I answering favorite Ninja Turtle or the porn version?
Both.
Wait a minute. There's a porn version?
Don't dodge the question.
Don't you remember Bales' favorite porn series? What was it?
What was what?
That I think that you're referring to that porn episode.
Yeah, Donatello and...
Raphalus.
What was the recorder's
name? Yeah. All right. Next question.
Hold on. He said this, that was his favorite toy as a kid. Did you have favorite like toys when you had gotten older?
I mean, I went through all the regular stuff, Lego and all that. Yeah.
But did you guys? I'm 30, so I don't know if we're like on totally different toy and fad spectrums.
Yep.
Do you guys remember when the yo-yo made a big comeback?
No. The X-Brain?
I had the X-Brain. I actually had...
Holy crap, like, he's got a pouch and everything for it.
Yeah, my grandma got this at like Harrah's Cherokee Casino or somewhere. It's like a tobacco tin holster. But I keep my yo-yo in there.
And it's got a yo-yo in a
holster. Nice.
This is the Grim Sleeper.
Ooh. Wow.
Oh, badass.
One thing I just thought about is you kind of get screwed out on the whole reliving toy experience because you have two girls. Unless you're into My Little Pony.
Yeah, Yeah, my kid is totally into it, and I do not get it. What? Yeah, no, it kind of sucks. I want to share, like, you know, Ninja Turtles. And,
yeah.
It'll be a brony.
Nah, man, I'm good.
He wants to, like, build Legos with his kid and play, you know.
Oh, she likes Legos, right. But, you know, I've got these, you know, World Wrestling Federation action figures. And
oh, you saved a bunch of your toys, too?
Yeah, I think all the action figures are still at my mom's and dad's houses.
I will say that a lot of my toys, my mom's a saver, and a lot of my toys are still live at my parents' house. And every once in a while, the other day I went over there, and He-Man was fighting the Junkyard Dog.
He-Man? Oh, man.
I have all my He-Man stuff. I have no clue how. I know that I was the youngest on both generations. Both sides of the family, I was the youngest, or the oldest, rather. That was the only one, like, baby. So I got all kinds of shit for a while. And then I don't know how it didn't get broken, because my brother broke everything we owned.
Yeah, I had a Ninja Turtle get crammed into a VCR one time.
Jesus.
Hey, dude, this is something that... Let me see about this, because this is something I wonder. When we were growing up, yes, there was the G.I. Joes and the Star Wars figures and this and that, but there was also, and this is like a throwback, even back then, throwback to like earlier decades and generations, but we had the green plastic soldiers.
Yeah,
that they fell in packs. Did you guys ever go through that?
Yeah. Yeah, I had a bucket of the green and tan, and then eventually like the little firemen. But by then all the toys had to be like flame retardant. I remember we had like a magnifying glass and we were trying to melt them and it wouldn't work. So then we just got like gasoline and set them on a railroad tie and they were still like pretty resistant to it.
My dad used to tell me back in the day when I would be playing with those, because we'd go to like a, you know, discount store or whatever, and they always had an aisle for kids toys and all that, and you'd grab like these plastic bags full of them, and that's what you'd... Well, he said that in his day those soldiers were actually made out of lead, dude.
Yeah.
I have a whole box of them that's made out of lead.
I used to suck on them when I was a kid. Good, Ryan, tell them.
My grandpa used to make them. That's what he did. He made like lead coins and lead everything.
Bullets and
not bullets, but he'd do like coin replicas,
pacifiers,
and... right? Shot glasses.
Cool.
Alrighty then. Favorite cartoon?
That's a tough one. I really got into Beavis and Butthead. We got in a lot of trouble for watching it as kids.
So were you a King of the Hill guy too?
Oh man, I love King of the Hill.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't still watch it.
I think you're lying.
I mean, I'll tell you what.
I'll tell you what.
I don't watch a lot of cartoons now, but I do dig me some Rick and Morty.
I've not seen that yet.
I've watched about four episodes of it. And I don't know. It's not.
Oh man.
It's not funny.
Really?
Yeah, I don't think it's funny.
Hmm.
I watch Captain Underpants, the movie, a lot.
That's pretty good.
I think it's a great movie.
With your kid or without?
I think I'd watch it without him at this point. Like, you know, are you guys the kind of people that'll fall in a hole and like watch the same movie over and over again? Was that ever?
Sometimes.
I could do that. That was something I did. I would study movies and I would just play over. Like every day I would play it. Like,
so are you studying Captain Underpants?
I kind of am. Like, it's the first movie that's made it into that kind of rotation in a while. It's like, oh yeah, Captain Underpants. I'll walk in and my youngest son will be in there. I'll be like, what's going on, dude? And he'll be like, underpants. And I'll be like, oh, all right, underpants.
So you think maybe you'll have a Halloween costume this year?
I wish. If it wasn't so cold, that's what I would dress the little guy as. He would love it. I could put some tighty whities on him with his big belly, big toddler beer belly walking around.
How different is Captain Underpants from Quail Man?
No belt.
No belt on the head.
Yeah, there's no headwear.
Man, Doug was a good cartoon.
I agree.
I think I was aged out of that one.
Yeah, me too. Like, remember, Ryan, I was saying that's the disconnect between you and me. That's the big 3 years there.
Yeah.
I tuned out about half an hour ago when you started naming these new cartoons.
Nap there, Pops?
Yeah, you want someone to talk about the Shirt Tales for a little bit?
Oh, I used to love the Shirt Tales.
My wife grew up watching Disney and we grew up watching Nickelodeon. So I was really big into like Doug and Are You Afraid of the Dark?
Yeah, all that.
That was past my time. See, I was like Double Dare Nickelodeon kid.
Yeah,
I watched that too. Roundhouse?
Nope.
No, I don't know that one.
You can't do that on television.
Yeah. Remember, we should do the locker jokes. We could do that. We could do locker jokes like when you can't do that in television. Just open up a door. Hey, Bales.
Yeah, Doc.
Yeah. And then just tell bad jokes.
Oh, I thought you had one.
Damn. Oh, no. Sorry. Not that sharp.
Yeah, so it sounds like you were like more in my age bracket with cartoons and stuff.
Yeah, but I also watched a whole lot of stuff that I was like way too young to watch.
Everybody does.
Oh, I mean, like I got in trouble for it in school or something. Like it was the subject of a parent-teacher conference. Ooh. You know, I think I had seen Natural Born Killers by like the third grade. Pump up the volume.
Christian Slater, baby. Yeah.
You turned out fine. People are all worried.
Yeah, you turned out fine working as a caterer at strip clubs at age
open toe talking to us right now. I can't say that being on this podcast right now.
I've got the Escajedo seal of approval.
Yeah, that does not equal fine. Yeah.
My mom is proud.
She really turned it around.
Well, it brought you to this culminating moment.
She's going
to
be at Bridge Club tomorrow going, you know, my son, Michael.
He was unscratched.
He was on this cast pod.
He was on the scratch. With the boys with the potty mouths.
And the whole thing about it is that it sounds worse when we're saying it because we have vivid imaginations. But once it comes out, it's actually quite tame. I hope that's the case for this episode.
Yeah, it usually seems like we're being very vulgar.
Yeah. I don't know. We led with cockfighting.
Although I gotta say, I came out swinging at the beginning of the Killdozer business, swear words and such. It's what happens. I get a little rammy.
Right. I was clutching my pearls, Doc, when I was editing it.
How about it? When I heard it, I was like, I didn't know the mic was on for that. Hot mic. Gotta be careful.
Favorite Batman?
I'm gonna have to go Keaton.
Yes.
I really like Christian Bale, but the angry gravel voices over the top.
Yes, agreed.
George Clooney kind of sucks.
It's what I do.
Val Kilmer went to being Fat Man way too quick. Plus, he had the whole lisp thing. Like, excuse me, doctor, do you enjoy the Thirkif?
From the Saint.
I can't watch his Batman without hearing Thirkif.
The Saint. Is that the movie where the drug dealer's name is Pooh Bear?
I think so.
Where he's like a saxophone player.
It's the one where he's the master of disguise.
Oh, no, never mind then.
But for sure that...
That's a remake of a movie from the 70s.
That prissy Batman that I don't... What's the guy's name again? That guy?
Oh, will you stop it that you don't know the guy's name? I'm just too macho to even know what his name is. Can't talk about him.
I haven't seen Batfleck, so I can't speak to that, but I'm morally opposed.
Yeah.
So were you a big comic book guy when you were younger?
Oh, big time, yeah.
Oh, sweet.
Yeah, my favorite was probably The Punisher.
Yeah.
And the white go-go boots?
Yeah, yeah. I've got Punisher number two. I've got a bunch of like fairly low number stuff. I had a friend who was really into it, and I kind of got hooked. I've got like Ren and Stimpy number one still in the bag.
Hear that, Roy?
I've got like Nick Fury, Agent of S.H.I.E.L.D. number four from like 1962. Oh. Yeah, I mean, it all fits in one drawer, though. I don't have like a massive collection. I initially got my first comic book was a Spider-Man. I think it was like a Sins of Our Fathers series.
Nice.
But yeah, definitely Marvel over DC for me.
Yeah, me too. Me too.
I got into like some Image and Top Cow stuff later, but
I bought the Spawn number one when what's his name busted out with the Image
McFarlane.
What's his name?
Todd McFarlane.
Yeah, McFarlane. When he came out with Spawn, the first issue, dude, we went and bought it. That was like at the end of my comic book because they kept upping the price like mad. You know, so it started off with 65 cent to 75 cent. Then I don't know if it was like 80 cent or what. Then a dollar, and then like a dollar and a quarter, $1.75. I was like, "What the hell, dude?" At some point, it's like, "Screw that." But the Spawns, those were cool.
When I got into actually like picking what I wanted to get, and not just what my mom would let me get at the drugstore, they were already like $3 or $4 a piece. So I was, we would drive like 45 minutes away to go get the dollar comics. This place had them all bagged and tagged on the top of the tables. And then they had boxes under the tables where you would just have to find whatever it wasn't categorized. And that's where I got most of my stuff was the random dollar bags.
Dollar bags. I'm going to let, is it Doc or Bales that has to set the scene for the zombie song?
Let's let Bales do it.
I don't remember it ever.
Go ahead. Okay. So
wait, is it zombie song or album?
Song.
Yeah. So hold on 1 second. I did reset there, brain resetting. It's a zombie movie. You're the zombie slayer. It's about to be the big scene. You're about to slay the zombies. They're breaking into
a nightclub.
A nightclub that Bales is the superintendent of during the day, but it's at night, so you're okay. And you notice that he did a really nice job on the tiling, but then you're like, okay, the zombies are coming in, and I'm gonna have to start slaying them.
And all I have on is these open-toed shoes.
Yes, I have my open-toed. So you strap your sandals on a little tighter, and you go over to the jukebox because we have a fictitious jukebox. And you put in any amount of money that seems rational to you for one play on the jukebox. And what's the soundtrack to you killing the zombies? You can finish your over easy cracked and peppered eggs or whatever you want to have, or a shot of whatever you drink.
Maple
there.
Syrup.
Yeah.
Grab your bat, and it goes into slow motion montage of zombie skull cracking.
Yeah, skull cracking as you wail on them.
Man, if it's going to be something violent, it's going to have to be metal. Something like Tormentor by Creator.
Jeez.
Or,
man.
No, I mean, I'm talking like,
this is a family-friendly show, mister.
Metal AF.
Like late 80s German thrash or something.
Kublai Khan.
Yeah, anything. What was that? Annihilation, was that the name of the album? Liar's Dice and all that. Yeah, man. Or maybe Souls of Black by Testament.
Damn. You're going hard.
Dude.
If I'm killing zombies, it's going to have to be.
Dude, you threw out Testament. I haven't heard of that band or thought of that band, well, in a long time. Damn, that's good.
Man, you're going to have to go see Slayer before they retire then, buddy.
Dude, both no kidding.
Is. Both of you.
Damn, dude. But Testament, you remember them, Bales?
Yeah, they were okay.
Oh, okay. Just keep going.
We recently bonded over Annihilator.
There you go. Annihilator, baby.
Classic stuff.
Alice in Hell.
No clue.
Y'all have to watch the video for that one.
It's horrible.
But in a good way.
Okay.
It's everything that Eloy loves about the 80s.
Yeah, that's true.
So it must be awful.
No, it's fantastic. There's like neon colors and big hair and campy horror.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. I love campy horror.
No, not camping horrors. Camping horror.
This week at Dangles.
Yeah.
Camping horrors.
Yeah, camping horrors, camping s'mores for dessert.
So I have one question I think we should add to the list every week.
Okay.
Or every time we have a guest host on. What would you order at Dangles? Or if you or would a better question be, what would your signature dish be?
What would you order at Dangles? And pick the shake.
No, let him make his own signature item.
Pick the shake.
Right, because then we can put it up on the board.
Yeah.
Fried pickle with gravy.
Oh, the
what?
Fried pickle and gravy.
Ding, ding, if ding, you ding. Know what I mean.
I don't. What kind of gravy? Like a brown gravy or like Italians call marinara sauce?
Oh, I forget. You guys don't have
sawdust
variety
gravy.
Of gravy.
No.
He's talking like sawdust gravy. Like
I was going for pure imagery here, not culinary excellence.
Pepper gravy? What are we talking about here?
Like sausage and biscuits? Like a white sausage gravy.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Okay. Yeah.
Sawmill gravy.
Yeah. I got you.
I mean, I guess a sour cream dipping sauce would have been just as well, but.
So if this is Loin's signature dish, because you have to give it a name.
My signature dish probably would have been the teriyaki meatballs.
Oh, there you go, teriyaki.
Yeah, meatballs. See.
Do you appetizer size or you go main course?
Oh no! You get an entire trough.
Oh, okay. Served in a bucket.
Yeah, I mean it's the same meatballs you use for a meatball sub at a Subway, but.
Oh, so
just cover them in Kiko Man teriyaki sauce
And put full size toothpicks in there. Okay.
So what's on the menu? Is it like Loin's bucket of balls or?
Is it a bucket or is it like the Dairy Queen banana split trough?
Yeah, I'm thinking phallic shaped. I'm thinking more rectangular. Yeah.
Ah. Ooh.
Yeah, like a planter, like a window planter.
That's actually smart. That would be good for table, for the table.
But it's still plastic and has holes in the bottom and the
gravy would drip.
Yeah.
Scratch.